I'm speaking here with Mike Haley, and Mike, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're from and what you do?
Well, I'm a farmer in Ohio. Our main crops are corn, soybeans, and wheat. We also have, me and my wife also have 30 head of purebred Simmental cows. Basically, one thing I do a lot of times in my spare time is use a little bit of social media to communicate what we do on our farms and spread a little bit of information about agriculture.
Great. Well, I know you've been very involved in the use of the social media, social networking. Tell us a little bit about kind of how you got started in that and why, and then maybe we can talk about a little bit more of some of the specifics of what you've been doing.
Over the past couple of years, I've been a little more concerned about some of the perceptions about agriculture, and there's a few things that hit around home that really made me aware of some of that. And last year I was at a young agricultural professional meeting for Ohio Farm Bureau, and there was just a short session that, you know, touched on social media and how you can use it to basically spread your message. It wasn't anything special. It was short and sweet and to the point, but I guess I got the message. When I got home, I set up a Twitter account and started using it a couple times a week, and the more I use it, the more I understood how I could use it, and now I try and use it at least once a day, sometimes several times a day, depending on what my schedule is.
Yeah, I started out, I would say, kind of slow myself when Twitter first came out, actually, and I don't think I even used it for most of a year before start. And I think part of it is you kind of have to, like with any technology, develop enough users for it to start to become worth the investment of your time and to actually be useful. But as you looked at that and got involved, how do you think that's helped in terms of telling your story? Because I know what we're all about, and we're going to talk about a little bit more here in a minute, is being advocates, which is advocating for agriculture.
Well, I've always tried to talk to my neighbors and help explain to them what I was doing when they had questions, or show them around the farm a little bit, and that really helps with the local neighborhood, but it doesn't reach the broad public. Most of our citizens in the U.S. live in cities, and they are concerned about our food, and that's who I think we need to reach a little more, because they don't see it every day, and I just can't take several hours off the farm or a couple weeks sometimes to go talk to everybody, and social media allows me to do that. I can pull a phone out of my pocket while I'm driving down the field and put in a simple message and check back in 10, 15 minutes, and sometimes there'll be comments asking more about it. So it's a powerful tool to, you know, simply spread a message very quickly without leaving the farm.
Well, I even had somebody this morning communicate to me that, and this is in the agricultural communications realm, that there's still a lot of people, he used the word many, who don't think farmers are engaged or using these mechanisms. How would you comment to that from your experience?
Well, when I first started using it, or especially on Twitter, there was a few farmers. But over the past year, it's really grown. There's a Follow Farmer database that lists several farmers, and that list is getting close to 1,000, and that's only the ones that's in the database.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tool that's becoming very well accepted by farmers. And I've been using Facebook maybe for 6 months, and there's a lot more people involved in agriculture that's using Facebook, and it seems like the more that people talk about farming and stuff, the more people are willing to talk about it and what they're doing on their farm. So it's quickly becoming a part of the farmers' lives.
Well, good. Well, that would certainly be my perspective, but then I'm actively engaged too. And I think one of the things that ag companies or farm groups need to understand is that, you know, this is something you have to actively participate in. It's about engaging, and that does take a little bit of effort because, you know, of course, you can just, I guess, follow somebody on Twitter and just read what they tweet and never say anything, but then you're really not taking part in the conversation. Speaking of which, one of the things we want to talk about is Ag Chat. One of those things that you and I both have participated in for, and it's coming up on about a year, first year anniversary of this weekly Twitter chat, is Ag Chat. And so tell me, you know, how did you get involved with Ag Chat, and how do you feel that has worked in terms of helping, you know, be advocates and tell agriculture's story and you know, help present and engage with people who may not understand what we do in this business?
Oh, well, shortly after I started using Twitter, Michelle Painopper, she started the Ag Chat discussion once a week. And basically it just provides a forum for people involved in agriculture to talk about issues that they're facing, and it's become very well accepted. 150, 200 people participate every week in it, and there's even a sister chat called Food Chat once a month, and that's where we try and listen a little bit more to what people not involved with agriculture have to say and discuss their concerns about farming.
Mm-hmm. And now we're even have started an international version too, which I can see us doing maybe a little more often as time goes on too.
Yeah, last week I noticed that there was an Africa Ag Chat, and now I hear there's a little bit of interest in a Europe Ag Chat. Mm-hmm. So it's catching on pretty quick.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when you're online, you're essentially talking or communicating or engaging with potentially an international audience. So, and the other thing that I think a lot of people don't take into consideration is that since we are, if you're using Twitter or Facebook even to a certain extent, and maybe a blog or a podcast that you're doing, these are very public mechanisms that allow people to find you online through keyword searching. So, you know, things like Twitter, tweets that are done on Twitter being cataloged by Google, for example, now and other search engines, that's letting people find us and the messages that we're putting out there, even if it's not directly live or maybe they don't necessarily communicate back to you immediately, because frankly what I think a lot of people do is they read and listen and watch, and the majority don't engage, kind of like on talk radio. You know, how many listeners call into a Rush Limbaugh show, and you know it's a minuscule percentage, but the audience that's listening is huge. So I think we need to keep that in mind, don't you?
Everything that I put out there is very much in the public, and like you said, Google can, if I say something about livestock and somebody searches Google, there's a good chance they're going to find what I said that day. And that can be very important, that, you know, you're trying to talk about the right message when you're talking about livestock or pigs or what you did today, because anybody that's curious about it can quickly find out what you're doing, and that's where the power comes in.
Well, let's get to the big announcement here, which is the Ag Chat Foundation. We both have the honor of being beginning board members for this, and we're just now getting out the message, and this interview is part of how I'm going to try to help spread the word here. What are we trying to do with the Ag Chat Foundation?
I talk to a lot of people that want to spread their message about what they're doing on their farm a little bit more. A lot of them aren't using social media, but they are trying getting out in their communities, speaking at rotary clubs and stuff, trying to, you know, talk about what they do and spread a little bit of positive information about agriculture. They want to learn how to spread that message a little further, but they're not familiar with tools of social media and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and that's where we sort of came up with this idea of the Ag Chat Foundation to help empower those people that want to take the next step and reach a broader audience without having to go speak to them every day and find that audience personally.
Well, that's what I hope we will have the opportunity to do, is provide some resources, perhaps some training opportunities. There's as simple as a mechanism like Twitter is, there's still a learning curve if you've never done it before. And because I know I do a fair amount of that, and probably you do too. And so the foundation, what we're hoping is that we're going to be trying to raise some funds, because it's like everything else. There's only so much we can do on volunteer time alone, but we will have some costs and some to do some of the things we'd like to do, and more will be announced as we move forward, starting next week. In fact, as we reach the 1 year anniversary of Ag Chat, and you mentioned Michelle, let's just put in another kudos to Michelle Payne Canoper for having come up with the concept, started, and I'd say be persistent at something that was never done before. And for some of us who have been out on the leading edge of these social media things in the early stages back 5 years ago, a lot of people turned their nose up to it, and it's funny to see some of them now very actively engaged themselves that at first thought this wasn't necessarily the most useful kind of tool or mechanism. Anything else you might say to people? I know we're just starting this Ag Chat Foundation and getting the announcement out. Anything else, though, that we should let people know at this point? I think where I'm posting this and where other people will be, we'll be pointing to a website, which is agchat.org. That's going to be hopefully up live by the time we get this interview posted.
Yes, agchat.org is the first place I would look. That website will post to Ag Chat Foundation's Twitter account and Facebook page. Other things that if anybody does start using social media that is not now, be sure to participate in the weekly chat on Tuesday from 8 to 10 Eastern time. I guess there are several other things to look at, but that's the first places I would start.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be working a lot at developing this, and it's going to take a while to get it going and accomplish all the things we hope to do anyway. So last thing I'll ask you real quick, just because it's been top of mind here in the office this morning, how are conditions as far as field work in your area right now? People always kind of like to know how things are, and I assume you're out and about.
Well, things are wet. Right now I'm broadcasting some clover of our wheat fields with a four-wheeler, and I'm just able to go without stirring up any mud on a four-wheeler, so maybe hopefully by tomorrow or the next day I'll be able to start top-dressing some wheat again.
So, all right.
Without some rain, maybe we'll be in the fields here full force in a couple weeks.
Yep, that seems to be the theme that I'm hearing from a lot of places. Well, thanks again, Mike, for taking the time here. I'll let you get back to work. Really appreciate it, and look forward to working with you to help develop the Ag Chat Foundation.
Yep, thank you.